Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Topcare Operating Funding 2018-2019 Program Changes. I would like to introduce John Barry. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to what is our sixth public information session on the 2018-2019 Childcare Operating Funding Program contract renewal and Childcare Fee Reduction Initiative session. Thanks for being with us here tonight. Just to let you know who we are, we're here in Victoria. My name is Jonathan Barry. As Fanny mentioned, I'm the Executive Director responsible for childcare programs and services. I'm joined by my lovely colleague, Anne Weatherill, Director of Childcare Programs and Services. You'll recognize her voice from past calls. We're also joined by two staff here in the Childcare Operating Funding Program. Before we start tonight, I just want to offer a prayer and recognition that for those of us who are in Victoria, we are on the traditional territory of the Songhees and the Squamish First Nations, and we're thankful for them having us in this community. In terms of the format tonight, we're going to follow a similar format as we have from our other information sessions, if you've joined them before. We'll start with a bit of information, an introduction and some information, and then we'll transition to a question-and-answer session. We'll try to give you as much time as we can to get through as many questions as we can. When we transition to that portion of our evening, you'll receive instructions from Fanny to queue up, and you may have already. In order for us to get to as many questions as possible, we ask that you please limit yourself to one follow-up question, and then you can get back in the queue again if you have more questions that we're unable to answer for you at that time. I just want to let you know, too, that because there is a team around us here to answer your questions, you may experience a brief pause as we deliberate to make sure that you get the best information that we can provide you. As I said at the beginning, the purpose of tonight's call is about the 2018-2019 CECOF contract renewal process and the Childcare Fee Reduction Initiative. I just want to start by covering a few key items before I turn it over to Anne Weatherill, our Director of Childcare Programs and Services. Since last summer 2017, the ministry has been talking to parents and childcare providers and other stakeholders across the childcare sector to hear their views on how we can better support all of those groups: parents, providers, early childhood educators, and other key stakeholders in the sector. That's why back in the fall, as part of our engagement process, the ministry held a two-day forum in Vancouver with childcare providers and other key stakeholders to get their ideas on how we can achieve a commitment to improve the affordability, accessibility, and quality of childcare for all families across BC. Included in that engagement process was a targeted online consultation that you may have received through a survey that was sent out through the CECOF program, and that was to enable providers who are unable to attend the forum to have some input in the direction that government has taken on the path to universal childcare. One of the questions that we asked during that engagement process is, where should we focus? Where should we start? One of the most important, and probably the most important item we heard, was that parents are struggling with the cost of care. In response, in Budget 2018, government has initiated two key programs to help address parent affordability. The first is the transition of the Childcare Subsidy Program into the Affordable Childcare Benefit. This will be rolled out later in September of this year and will benefit families with a pre-tax income of up to 111,000. And more details about that program change will be available in the coming weeks and months. The other change is the introduction of the Childcare Fee Reduction Initiative, by which the ministry is seeking to partner with providers to provide a universal benefit to families in the form of a fee reduction. This is an optional program for providers who are providing care to children under 36 months and 3 years to kindergarten. Last week, we started the CECOF contract renewal process where program confirmation forms for the first time were emailed to childcare providers to allow them to renew their contract and also the opportunity to opt into this initiative. Over the past week, we've begun to process those returned program confirmation forms from nearly 50% of childcare providers. That's of the 3,444 contracts that were sent out. Of those that we've processed so far, more than 86% have made the decision to opt in to the initiative. So the moment of the vast majority of providers have chosen to opt in, and we have committed to providers who have opted in by March 27th to respond to their application to opt in by the end of this week. As the initiative has rolled out, the ministry has heard and learned a lot about child care providers and the diversity in the sector, and some of the concerns that providers have shared. As our partners in serving families, we've listened to the concerns and recognize that the timelines for this year's contract renewal and rollout of the initiative are somewhat compressed and come at a time of the year when some facilities and organizations have closed for spring break. Therefore, as of this morning, the ministry is making two commitments. One is we're providing an extension to providers to send in Section 2 of the program confirmation form to April 20th to give providers more time to opt in. This will allow you as an operator to still receive payments in April to reduce parent fees should you decide to opt in. We also recognize that there's not been enough clarity with regard to the daily rate as outlined in Schedule C and the FAQs that have been issued. That's why by the end of this week, the ministry will provide written clarification on the rates in Schedule C to help you affirm the commitment and the intention of the ministry to provide stable payments to providers to pass on to parents. That is what we as a ministry are committed to doing for you as providers and the parents that you serve. I'm going to pass it over at this time to Ann Weatherall, Director of Child Care Programs and Services, who's going to provide a recap of some of the communication that's been sent out from the CCOF program this week, and also a recap of some of the questions that providers have been sending to us and also calling in to our staff here in the ministry. So with that, I will turn it over to Ann.
Thank you, John. And hello again. This is our sixth call that we've had. It's an honor to be able to hear from you. We've had a ton of good questions over the last calls, and we're really excited to hear what you have for us tonight. So I just want to touch briefly on some of the things that John mentioned. We are very aware, and we've had lots of calls from providers about the ambitious timelines. We've had a really good response from the forums. In speaking to staff, we've got a lot of young and very knowledgeable staff on the phones, and they are answering a lot of questions about a lot of technical questions. So we have very quickly come to understand that just like there's no one-size child care facility in the province or the way that one structures fees, we're also aware that there's no one type of computer system. And so thank you for your patience as we work with as many of you, as many different systems as we've come across. I do want to touch on one of the questions which staff have reported that they have heard a lot on, and we've heard that some folks have still not received their email with their funding agreement and their program confirmation form. We have checked our system. We have had, the majority of our contracts, they started sailing out the door on the 18th. Of March, and as John said, this is our first time online, so we really appreciate you working with us and through this. We had a very small number of bounce backs. Many of you will have known, and we reached out as a program and confirmed email addresses with your authorized signatory. And so, we had a very small number of bounce backs. And so staff will have contacted you to confirm and to make sure we're sending it out to the right addresses. Just a couple of tips. If you still haven't received a funding agreement, by all means, contact our staff. We have heard that there are some issues with some Hotmail accounts. There's something that goes on in there, so please check your junk items folder or your spam folder. As well, we have heard from, several folks where we are sending an email from a system, and so it's often spam filters or whatnot, they require it to be a human. And so because it's a system going into the inbox, then, our correspondence and our funding agreements are again, not getting passed. So I would just encourage you, if you haven't received one, first and foremost, just check your spam or your junk box so that hopefully it will be sitting in there. We sent out several versions of the program confirmation form, again, because we're aware that there were some issues with iPads and iPhones and some older versions of Microsoft and some Apple programs. So we are, I want to assure you that we are doing everything we can to make this work. In the last email we sent out this week, we had basically flattened the form, if you will, into a printable form. And we also included in that email that if you weren't able to download that one, that if you just wanted to call the program, we would certainly walk you through, fill out the form on your behalf with you, and then we would email it back to you in a flattened format so you could confirm that the information is right. So we are absolutely here to support you and totally understand that with moving online and with our ambitious timelines, that it, there's a few bumps, but we absolutely want to support you with that. So the next piece I want to just touch on, we sent out an email calculator this week, and so we'll touch on that shortly. We really want to ensure stable monthly payments, and we've come out recently in the FAQs with the rates, but the best way to ensure stable monthly payments for part-time enrollment is to consider the payment as a percentage of the full-time amount. And so if you're considering it on a 5 day a week as full-time, so then if you're 4 days a week, it's 80%, 3 days a week, 60. And so that's sort of an overview. One of the things that we have heard in all of our calls, and certainly in the consultations that John mentioned we had done in the fall, is that, again, there's no one-size-fits-all. And we have been very aware that, providers will often, some providers require quarterly payments. Some even we've heard, yearly payments. So there's a real array. And so what we've tried to do is standardize how that's calculated using this calculator. You will notice that we've also, in the two fields, the number of days under 4 hours and over 4 hours, we have mirrored what you were used to reporting for the two categories, under 36 months and 3 years to kindergarten. And so we were trying to reduce the sort of administrative burden in mirroring the enrollment reports. So hopefully that has eased it up in that it's the categories you're used to reporting in. I'm just looking at my notes here. We certainly have heard comments on the funding agreements, and I just want to touch on that briefly. So with the funding agreement, many of you who have been with CCOS since it started in 2003 we've had a very stable contract, and it's based on a standard contract and standard procurement. We also have heard that not a lot of people love reading contracts, but or not everyone, but we tried to, we didn't want to change everything up this year, as many of you, are very familiar with our CCOS contract. We did add Section 4, and so specifically to address the child care fee reduction initiative. And then with that, we added Schedule C. John touched on the Schedule C, and certainly we've had feedback that we weren't as clear as we should have been in Schedule C. So the overarching intent, and I said this on all of the other calls, but I will repeat it here, is the difference between base funding, so that's the funding that you would have filled out Section 1 in the program confirmation form, the base funding that you've had every year. The difference is that in Schedule B, that is based on when the facility, your facility, is open and operating. And so we pay based on those days. Schedule C, or the Child Care Reduction Initiative, that is based on a monthly enrollment. And so, again, we're looking to ensure stable monthly payments. And so that is the most significant difference. We start in there, you will notice that there are rates. We have, again, tied it to the daily rates because that is the scheme or the funding mechanism that CCOF is based upon. We are very aware and have had feedback that it can be a little bit confusing because we've said, you know, very clearly what our, you know, we've got maximum monthlies of 250 for group under 36 and then family 200 under 36. And so we're aware that it, you know, we have had feedback that it's a little bit confusing. We are looking at a monthly enrollment because we're aware that not all, but a lot of facilities charge parents on a monthly rate. And so because we're looking at enrollments in CCOF and registration, that is how we came up with the monthly rate. And it also ties in with, again, ensuring stable monthly payments, that then you would be passing through and reducing your fees by. So those are the main differences in the contract. We've had clear feedback, as John said, that we need to be clear. We have in the FAQs outlined the fee rate table. And so part of the reason that we did that, obviously, is to just acknowledge as well that, you know, we are aware that different months have different days. And so the 1667 that is reported, and that's just one fee, but the 1667 that you will see in your group funding agreement for under 36 months, that we base on a 21-day month. And so we've been asked, why did you do that? And what we did is we were looking at the average number of days in a month throughout the year. And so it's 21 business days. And so when you look at 21 days, 1667, it turns out to 350. And so, you know, we're looking at trying to, I think one of the intents in the way that we wrote Schedule C was because we were really wanting to not confuse because we knew we knew you'd be using your enrollment report. We knew that the contract that we've had with you was always based on daily rates. So we tried to translate that in the similar language. We also needed to translate it into daily rates because that is how you report in your enrollment report. And so because that is one of the basic reporting requirements that allow us to enable how much the Child Care Fee Reduction Initiative payment is, we needed to make sure that it was in the format of a daily rate. One of the questions that we have been asked with regard to reporting is how does it work with kindergarten? We have with children who are in kindergarten. And as part of that, when we came out, we've come out with a series of FAQs that we've posted on our website. We have started amalgamating the FAQs so that we just have one document. A couple of iterations ago, we had two. So So we're trying to amalgamate them all in one single document. I do want to let you know, too, that moving forward, especially when we hear questions from you or when staff hear questions on the call, what we do is we will be updating the FAQs. What we will be doing with the next iteration that we're looking to get out shortly is we will put it on the front page which of our FAQs we've updated, because we certainly understand that you don't have time, nor is it fair for you to have to scroll through all of the FAQs. So we will highlight which ones we've revised and which ones we've added on the front page. So hopefully, as we work really hard, we really want to communicate with you and really answer your questions. So you will see that sort of easy guide for what we've updated on the front page. So back to the piece on kindergarten. So in the very earliest messaging when this initiative, the fee reduction initiative, was first announced, you would have seen messaging that we were basing it on infant toddler care, and then 3 years, 3 months to five years. And so those are license types. And so the reason that was, and this is initiative, it's the first rollout, the reason that we started with those two care types is that it was based on the most expensive care for parents on average. And so that is where the funding allocation at this initial rollout was focused. Now, we are also aware that CCOF categories capture, in your enrollment reports, under 36 and 3 years to kindergarten. So one of the main questions we've had is that, what do we do if we have children in the kindergarten category, and how does that work? So, and I'm going to keep returning to, we really wanted to reduce administrative care or burden. So it's how you report it on your enrollment report. So when you have children 3 years that you report in the under 4 hours or the over 4 hours category in for 3 years to kindergarten, those ones would be captured in the payments for the initiative. So what that means is, because we are looking at where they are reported on your enrollment report, kindergarten children who are enrolled in a before and after school program, as long as they're reported in your 3 years to kindergarten category, and absolutely they would be included if you were approved to participate in the initiative. So it really is based on where those children are captured. One of the other questions that we've had quite a bit of is, what do we do if a child moves mid-month? And so because, in many, we certainly want to, the intent of this is stable monthly fees. So we know if a child goes in and is in for a month and they transfer mid-month, we're certainly not looking to, we're not looking to change funding. We would expect then that in the next month that is when you would be capturing that a child had moved to a different care category. So I just want to touch on a couple of other things. We have heard from staff that there's been quite a few questions and concerns about freezing fees. So, and there's been a lot of concern about that. So I just want to clarify quickly about this initiative. So there is no fee cap that we are looking at. What we are doing, the intention is to ensure that the benefit, and so those rates that the prescribed rates under the initiative, to ensure that the benefit goes to parents and that it's not unreasonably diluted by non-standard fee increases. So So how do we determine if the fees are reasonable? We really are at this time. We start off with what I like to call as an absolute comparison. So we are starting by looking at the fees that you, the organization and the facility, send to us on your program confirmation form. So this is section two. And so, you know, where we ask for a monthly parent fee, we look at what it is for September 17th, and we look from September 17th through to March 2019. And so, you know, we look and see if it's a reasonable fee increase. And so as part of that, we also look at September 2017 to September 2018, for example. So I think one of the most oft-asked questions is there a percentage? You know, we are aware that we have historical fee increases, and so where fee increases are planned year over year, you know, we do understand that fees go up. We absolutely understand that. And you know, through years of provider profile, et cetera, we've got some good data on that. So what we do is we look at what your fees are. If they seem, you know, if they fall into and this is one of the questions in the FAQs, if they fall into the no fee increase or the reasonable fee increase, meaning it's in line with your planned regular fee increases, then we certainly look at that generally gets approved. So if where we see fee increases that are not in line with historical or planned fee increases. And then the reason that, the question about fee caps and percentages, et cetera, is that we're not doing that because it wouldn't be administratively fair. So what we do is if there are fee increases beyond the norm, what we will do is we take each application and we look at it on a case-by-case basis. And so this is in section question 25. And what we do is we first take a look if it's in line with other fees in the area. But we also say, and we would be asking you, what are the reasons for the fee increases? And so, you know, we are looking for bona fide material cause for why there's a 500 or 1,000 or whatever it is, why there's such a significant increase compared to what your rates were last year and what you've reported as your planned increases. So there is no percentage, there is no flat percentage for this. And then the other thing that we are looking for when we are looking for criteria is the closure periods. And so that's been a question that we've been asked quite a bit. In the FAQs, we have outlined, in the FAQs, that up to 4 weeks to a max of 2 weeks at any time is eligible to be part of this initiative. It doesn't mean that, and the key piece about the 4 weeks is that, so it's maximum of 2 weeks at a time. The key piece about this is that it's if parents are charged. So the max 4 weeks relates to if parents are charged. And so we've had a question, but I'm closed, and then our question is, are you charging parents if you're closed for 3 months? And the question is no. So that is the key is if parents are charged the full monthly fee. And I'm just looking if there's anything else before we pass it over to questions. So what we'll do is that I think we'll turn it over. I'll turn it back to you, John, and we'll open it up for questions.
Thank you, Patty. If you want to transition us over to the question and answer period, we'll be ready to take questions from the audience.
Okay, John, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to queue up for a question, please press 01 on your keypad. And if you have your question, if you'd like to withdraw your question, please press the pound sign. So our first question is from Jennifer. Please go ahead, Jennifer.
Hi, so this question is directed to Anne. And on the last call we were on with you, I actually listened in to both. We were told that we would be able to submit our enrollment this week and that we would have our money in our bank accounts for April 1st. Today, I had yet to receive if I was approved for my fee increase. So doing my due diligence, I called the center into the call station, and I spoke with an employee who's been with you guys since inception of the COF. She informed me that there was absolutely no way that I would be receiving my money by April 1st to then give on to my parents, and that, in fact, nobody would be. So I'm just, I guess my first question is this true? And if the answer is this is true, then are you planning on making a public announcement to our families and other child care facilities so the province is clear on what's going on? Because to me right now, and the documentation I've given to my parents says, if I don't give them this fee reduction on April 1st, they should be calling the 1-800 number. So I'm just looking for clarification from you on really what's happening with the money and where do we go from here as child care providers?
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that question. And I'm glad to hear you were on another call. Interesting. So a couple of things. So on those previous calls, what I did was I outlined, you know, what the dates were, which are on the FAQs, where we said that this is, so we know that we're transitioning. We know that, you know, one of our commitments to support providers to get in pay is that we know that this funding, you know, this legal relationship under this contract does not start till April 1st. And so, you know, technically, you know, we are not in this contractual term with you, the provider, until that time. And so, on previous calls, I had stated that, and so, you know, I understand miscommunication or, but in our FAQs, there is a chart, and so it shows the chart on page 6 that, and we also have a question on timelines. You could find that for me, please. I think it's question 3. But we also acknowledge that with this transition, we know April is a transition, and so, because our contract does not legally come into force until 12/01 on April 1st, we know that providers won't be able to submit payments for April, you know, until that time.
But Anne, you said on the past calls that we had to do it on our April 1st bills and that we could not charge parents for it, and you said that the money would be in our accounts by April 1st. So then do you not think that it's only fair to go back and notify everybody if this has changed? Because the guidelines and this drop down of dates isn't clarifying that. And frankly, I've notified 250 families of this. I've been transparent through this whole process, but now I look like an idiot to my families, and it's not me. So I've been transparent with them. So do you not think that maybe the province should go to the media and let families know it's not going out as planned and know the fees won't be changed for April 1st?
So I think there's been a misunderstanding. I have been clear on the calls with our FAQs, which, and this one has been in, you know, in for at least a couple iterations. When you look at question 14, We specifically say the 2018-19 funding agreement comes into effect on April 1st, 2018. Therefore, April providers will receive payments slightly after the first of the month, as providers will not be able to submit their April enrollment report until April 1st. For all other months in the 2018-19 contract term, from May 2018 until March 2019, providers will be able to submit their enrollment reports beginning of the 20th of the previous calendar month in order to receive their funding by the beginning of the month. So, for instance, in May, organizations can submit their May enrollment reports starting April 20th. So what I have, so we have that in the FAQs, so I'd encourage you to take a look at question 14. I also just want to reiterate the timelines that I opened those other five calls on. And so what we had said is we would send out our funding agreements 16th to the 18th. We ended up sending them the 18th. And then we said, and this is a chart on page 6, that March 17th to 27th, organizations could complete the form, submit it by email, although we're clear to say you have 30 days, so if, for folks who don't want to rush, we didn't want to impose a deadline. However, our commitment and in the program is, if providers submit the form by the 27th tomorrow, that we will expedite the review process so that you providers will receive confirmation by the 31st of March that your funding agreement has been renewed for base funding, and you will receive an email confirmation from us if you applied for the initiative that your request has been approved or that further reviewer information is required. And so if you look at the chart on page 6, April 1st does say, as of April 1st, providers go to the child care web application and submit their April enrollment report. And as soon as you submit that, payments will be generated and deposited within 1 to 3 business days. We also say going forward, meaning starting in May, providers will be able to submit their enrollments in advance of the first of each month. So again, it would be April 20th. So, is it Jennifer? So Jennifer, I'm not sure where the misunderstanding was.
Well, there is a misunderstanding. There's many of us that heard the call. Maybe go back and look at the transcripts. I mean, we can agree to disagree, and that's fine. But I can tell you, we're in consultation with many childcare providers that were on those calls. You did say that we would have it for April 1st. You said it repeatedly. So, I mean, I'm not going to argue with you on this call, but maybe go back and look at what you said, because we were told for April 1st the money would be on our accounts. Anyways, I'll let somebody else ask another question.
Thanks for your call, Jennifer. The information on this part of the FAQ hasn't changed, so, but anyway, thank you for your call.
Thank you. Our next question is from Corey Wilson. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call, and I have been on the previous calls as well. I just got my email today that I was approved for the operating funding enrollment report. So I guess what I'm going to ask you to clarify is I will get another email clarifying that I was approved for the opt-in, because I did apply for the opt-in.
Excellent question. So so how it works is part of the initiative, so for the fee reduction initiative, one of the requirements is that providers are enrolled in base funding. So what we are doing is we get your program confirmation form, we immediately process that, and so yes, you would receive an auto-generated letter confirming that you're in base funding, and then we are separately going to be sending out emails regarding confirmation of the status for the approval for the Child Care Fee Reduction Initiative. So, excellent question.
Thank you. thank you for clarifying that. And another thing is I expect to be opted in because I'm in the category or lot number one, if you will. So regardless of the timeline, and I do understand that it's a transition and we will not get our money April 1st, but when I do receive that email that I have been approved for opting in, I will at that point send in my the funding report and then get payments following that. For me, I know it's a transition, so I don't expect the money to be in my account April 1st because, I mean, it is a transition and there's going to be bumps in the road, so I have no difficulty with it. But I have to also say that the people who are answering telephone calls are very precise, and I've called in a few times, and it was wonderful that they were able to help me through that process. One other question that I'd like to clarify is regarding the subsidy, just a quick question. In the thing, it says that parents and providers are to contact child care subsidy regarding a change, but then the person who I spoke with said that, no, the parents are obligated that they need to call child care subsidy to let them know that I've opted in and that they're in the parent fee reduction. So do I have to also do something, or can I just ask the parents that are on subsidy that they need to call in and report that I've been authorized and that they're underneath the parent, the fee reduction?
So I'll just answer the first question first. So can you go in on April 1st and submit your enrollment reports? Yes.
Don't I wait until I'm approved for the opt-in to do that?
Well, actually, that's a good question. So regardless, you will be able to, because you've been approved in base funding,
yes.
And so the way the system works, this is an excellent question, we haven't heard it before. So the way the system works is, you know how you normally, you do things at the end of the month, but you go on to CEQA, or the Child Care Web Application, and then you fill out your enrollment report. You would still do that on April 1st, regardless of, if you had chosen not to opt into the initiative, you actually can go on April 1st and fill out that enrollment report.
Okay.
Even if you have, regardless, you will have access to fill that out, and we will be then paying your enrollment for your base funding, at the beginning of the month. And then if you have been approved to opt in, to the fee reduction initiative, then the payments will also go out.
Yeah, so I don't have to send in another enrollment report. They're just going to go by that one once I've been approved for opt-in.
Yep, absolutely. We really wanted to ensure that it was not an increased burden for filling out paperwork. So I just, and I'm aware so we've got a lot of calls, questions, but there was one quick other question you had about subsidy. So do you just want to address that, James, quickly?
Yeah, the two programs are working together, so child care operating funding and child care subsidy. What's important is that a parent notifies and lets child care subsidy know if the new child care fee reduction amount brings their parent fee to less than the subsidy amount.
Yeah.
So the programs may have identified that already, but it's always great if the parent lets us know.
Yeah, but so the child care provider, they're not obligated to contact subsidy. The parents are.
Well, yeah, I understand the question. The mechanism in child care subsidy is the child care arrangement form, which is signed by both the care provider and the parent.
Yes.
I can see why, but if the parent phones and lets us know the new cost of care, that's all we need.
Okay, that's wonderful. Just one quick comment. I received your the daily or the child care fee reduction calculator, and I have to say thank you, thank you, thank you. It works awesome, and it's absolutely wonderful. So thank you for that. I'm not going to keep you anymore, but I just wanted to clarify that really, really is helpful.
Thank you very much. That's good feedback. Thank you, Corey.
Our next question comes from Pamela Wahlberg. So go ahead, Pamela.
Hi there. Thank you so much for taking my call. Give us a history of the marginalization of women in the workforce, and particularly as that would relate to wages. I'm interested in an explanation as to why two items that actively contribute to limiting wages for women would be in this contract. First, why family child care and in-home multi-age providers are unable to access the fee reduction initiative for their own children within their own care programs. And second, why wage increases would not be considered a valid reason for increased fees.
Okay. So you had two questions. So the first one was about parents. Sorry, we're just reiterating your questions here to make sure we have them right. So I think one of the questions you asked was about if you're a child care provider and your child attends your facility. Is that correct?
No. That first question would be why the contract would set out something that would limit the wages that a provider would be able to pay themselves when their child is in their program by not providing the fee reduction initiative to that woman. And similarly, why you would limit wages of women in an already incredibly underpaid field by not allowing wage increases as an approvable reason to increase fees.
So I'm just going to address the second one first. So as we move towards universal child care, this is the first one, this is one of the first initiatives out of the gate. And the focus on this initiative is to support parents to provide financial relief for them for their fees. And so
but
that is
only some parents, because it doesn't support parents who work in family child care in home multi-age.
Okay, so I'm thinking this is actually question 57. So it's where it says I'm a multi-age child care provider located in my own personal residence. What rate will my families qualify for? Are you in your own personal residence?
No, I understand that there's no rate qualifying for it. I want to understand the rationalization behind any contract that contributes to the ongoing marginalization of wages for women.
So Jennifer, I appreciate the nature of your question for Pamela. And you're speaking to a larger policy issue that I think is related to the child care fee reduction initiative, but is a bit outside the bounds of the current information session tonight. I think we're understanding the nature of your questions, but they're such that if they were in writing, I think it would help us to respond as best and as accurately as possible. So I'm going to.
I submitted them in writing, and I haven't received a response.
Okay, then I'm sure that we will connect with staff in the ministry to identify where your written submission is and ensure that you have a prompt reply.
Great, I'm totally happy to send it again. Which staff would be the appropriate people to deal with that?
Well, I'll give you an email address that we can identify your incoming as quickly as we can. So it's earlyyears@gov.bc.ca.
Okay, I'll make this a note. And that's a follow-up. I'm curious, at the beginning of the call, was it John who was the introduction?
That's right.
John, that was great. I was curious, I'm continuing on with the idea of marginalization of women and treating women in the workplace. I'm wondering how Anne felt about being referred to as your lovely colleague. No offense taken at all, but I just know that in my workplace, if I refer to children or parents as lovely, it would be considered quite demeaning.
I apologize if that's the way that comment was construed. I very much appreciate and respect the quality of leadership and integrity that Anne has, and so if it was taken that way, I extend my apologies. Thank you for that comment.
And I do have to say is that lovely is my favorite word, so I think you're just hearing what I say, but anyway. Yeah.
Thanks very much for the comment, Pamela.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela. Our next question is from Angelina. Please go ahead, Angelina.
Hi. Hello. Hi.
Hi, welcome. Thank you for coming on the call.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. So I submitted my application to opt-in last March 19, and I received in my email a child care reduction calculator. So my question is, do I need to fill it up and then send it to your office as part of the requirements in my application?
Hi, the child care fee reduction calculator was sent out on Friday. You will need to fill that out and submit it to the program.
Oh, so
the calculator is there to assist you to determine stable monthly payments, okay, based on a child's average ongoing enrollment. So you can use that for how much to reduce the parent fees by for a child. There's two calculators in there. One works on a weekly basis if a child attends, say, 4 days a week. The other is if a child attends on a monthly, which is actually an average of a four-week period.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for your answer. One more question, please.
Submit the your
no, on April 1st.
How can you?
So I'm just waiting for the approval of my application for opt-in. So this April 1, you said in your note that within March 19 to 31, I will wait for the confirmation of my application. So this April 1, I will still go on my monthly enrollment program for funding?
Yes. So what will happen is as long as you've sent it in before by the 27th, we are committed to sending out confirmations of approvals and or any requests for additional information to you. You will receive an email to advise if you've been approved to opt in for the fee reduction initiative. If you have been, if you receive an approval in your email inbox, you then will, regardless, be able to go into the child care web application on April 1st and submit your monthly enrollment report. And I think I said it in the last call as well, that even if you are not opting in, you still, on April 1st, will be able to go in and submit your enrollment reports, because as part of us working with you to provide child care in this province, we wanted to make sure that the payments that you received through operating funding were to you at the beginning of the month. Thank you for your question.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Angelina. And we have about 20 more questions in the queue. Our next one is from Elisa. Please go ahead, Elisa.
Hello?
Welcome. Thank you for your question.
Sorry. I think that there's some feedback.
Elisa, can you hear us?
I think so. I just don't know what the issue was.
Hi, Lisa. I think I have an
exception
right now.
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you now. It's all good. Thank you. So in the contract, it talks about a spirit of transparency. And so I'm just wondering, because we heard about this all like in the budget and we weren't informed about it at any point before this, and so it kind of sprung on us by surprise. And so I'm wondering if there's going to be some rollout of so that we can see the whole three-year plan. I mean, right now you guys are putting out FAQs whenever you decide that you need to put them out. But I really feel like the plan's coming out like it's written for a 10-year-old, and I have more education than that. I can understand if you're going to go somewhere and what that might look like. So I don't really need somebody's questions and then your answers to it. I just want like a layout of what the plan, the timeline, what that might look like.
So Lisa, if I understand your question, it's not so much about the 3-year plan, but what government is committed to over the 10 years? Is that
Well, I mean, just to have some transparency in what the guideline and what the plan is going to be.
Well, I think absolutely. The intent of the child care blueprint document that's available on our website is government's intended vision, or at least for the next 3 years, and its budget commitment to invest in affordability, accessibility, and quality. I do know that, you know, providers have questions that may go outside of that timeline, but right now we're really committed to delivering on the initiatives that are outlined in that document. And we'll be, engaging in a conversation with providers, with parents, with educators, and those in the sector about the past universal child care as government has committed over a 10-year period. But right now, our focus is delivering on the initiatives outlined in that document over the next 3 years.
Okay, yeah, it's just that, I mean, it would have been nice if you guys would have, come to us and give us a heads up before we heard it on the news and it was part of the budget, and then all of a sudden we were surprised and we had parents coming to us and asking us questions, and really we didn't know anything until a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I think you made a very fair point, Elisa, and I think that's why over the coming weeks and months you will see continued engagement. I know there was some targeted engagement over the fall of 2017. But
I don't even care about engagement. I want transparency.
I appreciate it. Is there something at this point that you believe is not transparent?
Well, I mean, to roll out a program and to let parents know about it before we do, and they come to us and say, okay, when are we getting this $350, kind of puts us at a disadvantage when we don't even know if we are approved, if we're going to get approved.
I think that's good feedback that we can take away. I know I've heard a concern around the fact that perhaps government announced to parents before providers. The initiative was released to citizens across TC all at the same time around Budget Day, which was February 20th. So, but I do hear you, and I think there's opportunities for us in the coming weeks and months to do a better job at providing information ahead of when programs are rolling out.
Yes, I mean, I just feel like it's unfair that I should have to hear about it on the 6 o'clock news, and it directly impacts my business and my employees.
I think that's good feedback, Elisa. I do want to, I know we've got about 19 other calls in the queue, so I really appreciate your questions. So I'm going to try and bring us back to the focus for this particular information session.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question is from Diane Quarters. Please go ahead, Diane.
Hmm? Hello?
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 Go ahead with your question. Sorry, what was your name?
Stan.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, yeah, I just have a question, because right now the timeline for submitting the contract has been moved to April 20th, right? And then, so with that in mind, if I decide to opt in, is it okay for me to collect the full month's fee for April on the 1st and then just reimburse whatever amount that I receive when it gets into my bank account?
That's an excellent question. So we understand, especially since the timeline has been extended, that, you know, we certainly are really trying to work with you, our providers, to deliver this initiative. And we certainly would want to ensure that you were whole, that you were made whole. And so, mm-hmm. You know, we understand, especially if you're opting in, certainly in the middle of the month after you've already collected your fees, that we certainly wouldn't expect you to be, to not have that money which you need from the fees. So, yes, we would leave it to you for the first month that you're transitioning, you know, to return that fee to your parents, when you receive it in a form that works between you and your parents.
Okay, thank you. And then when I receive the fee, is it just like the CCOF where it's a whole amount, or will you be giving me a breakdown of like how much, like especially for the part-time ones, so that I can be sure that I'm giving them the right reduction?
it's a good question. So there's a couple of things. So is that depending on, so we have a, there's two payments that you'll get. So mm-hmm. you will get your base CCOF funding payment, and that may be together with your payment in the Child Care Fee Reduction Initiative. But they also may be separate. And with the Child Care Fee Reduction Initiative, you will have an administrative top-up, which is the 10% that you will get over and above the parent fee amount. And so what we are doing is part of the calculator is that it will be based on your enrollment that you submit to us. And then, again, we will also be looking at your closures. And so there will be a monthly amount. Because we don't collect all of the schedules within your facility, that is why we put out the calculator. And so that will enable you to put in what a schedule is for a parent in your facility, and then it will show you the amount of the parent fee reduction to pass on to them in the form of reduced fees.
Okay, and I will be able to confirm the amounts with somebody at the CCOF office.
You always can phone us. Erin, we are very happy to explain. We are also upfront, so when you receive your check reconciliation, you know, we will be explaining the breakdown of the payments in there between your administrative top-up and your parent reduction. So it will be broken down there, and then you can use the calculator. But absolutely, if you have any questions on how that works or how your payments are, please office.
Okay, just a last question for the part-time computation. Because I charge a monthly rate, so let's say a child comes in three times a week, it's the same monthly rate regardless of the schedule, whether he comes in Monday to Wednesday or Wednesday to Friday. But then when I was looking at the calendar, when the schedule changes in a month, some of the three times a week child will have 13 attendance days as compared to another family where they'll have only 12. So will their reduction be different or is it the same?
Hi, we recommend to ensure a stable monthly payment for a parent. So the calculator that was sent out, there's a weekly calculator there. If you put in three full days per week, that will calculate a standard of 3/5 of a monthly amount.
Okay, so I use the weekly instead of the monthly calculator.
Yeah, if it's regular 3 days a week ongoing, that's the child's part-time average schedule. That will calculate 60% of the monthly amount as an ongoing stable parent fee reduction.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Thank you. That's all my questions for now.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you, Diane. Our next question is from Corey Sunray. Please go ahead.
Hi. If we opt in, the government will cap our personal holiday time at 4 weeks when many family and multi-age centers take 6 weeks or more holiday time and our families agree to this when they sign our contracts. We're now being told that the government won't pay over that and we cannot charge the families over that. I was wondering if our personal and sick days counted within those 4 weeks. And also, does the 4 week cap count when the parents take extended vacations and absences that they would normally be charged to hold the space, like say 2 weeks to 2 month absences at a time, but more than 4 weeks per year sort of thing?
That's a good question. You know, we absolutely recognize, and, you know, the reason that, you know, we've got the 4 weeks is, of course, you know, we're aware and facilities are entitled to have closures. We have limited to 4 weeks a year if parents are charging full fees. And so payments are based on enrollment and, you know, not you know, not on attendance. And so because we're aware that fees are generally charged monthly, we wanted to take that into consideration.
Right. So my question was, like, I take 4 weeks holidays per year, so I'm not over in that respect, but I also allow myself 7 sick or personal days. Does that count within those 4 weeks? Like, can I charge the parents for that like I normally would do?
The question we would have would be, do you charge parents full-time fees for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, for my holidays and sick days on top of that.
Right.
And that's pretty much the norm.
Okay. So, we have said four weeks a year for when parent fees are charged full-time. That said, one thing that I'm always careful with is about adjudicating over the phone. So I would absolutely encourage you, if you are interested, I would encourage you to fill out Section 2 of the form and with your information so that we can actually take a look at it and move forward from there.
Well, I appreciate that. But it's pretty standard that caregivers take 3 to 4 weeks. But standard is 4 weeks, but standard's also 7 to 10 sick or personal health days on top of holidays. Like, you don't count that in our holidays, why would we? So, that's something I think people would want to know before they opt in and ask that question on an opt-in form, right?
Yeah, yes, of course. And, you know, we are aware that, we really, a lot on these calls, in addition to systems, we're saying there's no one-size-fits-all in how the fee structures are. We've seen varying fee structures. I hear yours.
Mm-hmm.
It is why we specifically ask for information on the closures. That's what we're looking for in terms of the 4 weeks.
Right. So if I phone into the phone lines, would I get a better answer for this, or do I have to opt in and then ask that question on my opt-in and hope to get opted in?
Okay. Great. So I will clarify. I'd have to say, with our staff, yes, you get a great answer, I hope. They're pretty enthusiastic, and we're appreciative for them. But with regards to, it does say, and I'm looking in the FAQs just so that I can repeat specifically what we have written down, is facilities that are approved to opt in may not close for more than 2 sick consecutive weeks, up to a maximum of 4 weeks in total per year, and charge parents full fees for those weeks in order to be eligible for the regular fee reduction.
Right. So that says no 4 weeks total, right?
Yeah.
Then my question is just completely gone. So moving on to the other part of my question, does the 4 week cap also count when parents are on vacation? Like, say somebody goes away for over 4 weeks at a time and they're wanting to pay to hold their spot. Does the government pay for that, or do we charge the parents for that because the child is not there but the daycare is open?
So, CCOS, the entire program is based on enrollment. And so, it's when the facility are open and providing care.
Right.
If parent is charged for, it's funny, we had a question earlier in the week on this, where we had a facility that was, I think, closed for a couple of months, and we're still charging the full enrollment, and so, to hold spots. And so, we've laid, we understand that there's nuances, we understand.
Mm-hmm.
We totally get that, and again, it's not one size fits all. But for the purposes of this, we are looking at payments are based on enrollment, and when parents are charged and the children are enrolled, that's what this reduction.
Okay, that doesn't matter, but we can't go over 4 weeks, whether there's sick days or holidays, it's 4 weeks. Is that right?
Well, the key is charging parents for it, yes.
Yeah, so like me, normally I would take my 4 week holidays, and I personally take them a week at a time, so that's not an issue. But occasionally I fall sick on account of what we do. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to count that in my 4 week holidays that I had planned for the year, so that's counted in my personal health days or sick days, and the parents just pay as normal. So what I'm hearing is that I can't charge the parents for that, and that over and above 4 weeks per year.
So just to clarify, so, you know, so when we talk about, and I'm looking for a specific wording, but we're talking about when facilities close. You know, we understand, I mean, folks have a sick day, we understand that. This is where we are looking at what your planned closures are, you know, for this next year. It's mm-hmm. what your plan, you know, it's planned closures when you're saying for a month, we will be closed at Christmas for a week, we will be closed, et cetera, et cetera. We certainly don't expect, nor would it be reasonable for us to ask for, you know, to ask for a form or, you know, enrollment report or whatever it is if you're sick for a day.
Right.
That said, you know, we also, you know, if there's a business case, you know, for a longer duration, you know, certainly give us a call. You know, it is part of the reason why, you know, we do encourage all providers to, you know, to, if they're interested, to opt in, and we certainly
yeah.
would indicate at that point.
Yeah.
Based on the form that enables you to add additional information, you know, if you want to include more information on that.
Yeah, well, I mean,
thank you for your question. That's a good one.
Yeah, well, just usually, you know, I take my 4 weeks holidays, but I will get sick within that time. So say I'm off work for 7 days, I just want to know what protocol is. Like, can I, do I charge the families for that, or do I charge the government plus the families for that? Like, you know, as in the opt-in portion, and then they pay their portion of my fees as usual as a monthly rate, or am I over and above the 4 weeks, and so I'm out that money if I fall sick.
Sorry, we're just checking something here. When you're open and operating.
Yeah, that's a classic question.
Yeah, I think that, sure. So I think it's a good question. I think, you know, we've answered sort of several parts of it. I do think...
Mm-hmm.
We want to just take this one offside and...
Yeah, I just think it's a valid question for many providers, because the norm is 7 to 10 sick days over and above their holidays, and 4 weeks is not an abnormal holiday. That's pretty average for, you know, family providers or multi-age homes or whatever.
Yeah.
So, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Corey. Our next question is from Alodin Lewis. Please go ahead.
Oh, good evening. Thank you so much for accepting my call.
Excellent. Welcome to the call.
I just have a question here. So based on, say for instance, my fee is $985 per month for under 36 months old. And I recognize that when I put in the calculation, it says that the parents will be paying $50 per month. The question is there, is that the government will be paying me $935?
Good question. So just to clarify, and is it Alana? No? Good question. So you're saying that if you charge $985 a month, for under
yes.
six, and then so then how it works is, and you're talking about the calculator, is then what you would do is you would look at what you would look at a child and look at what enrollment that child has, and then the ministry would pay either a prorated part-time amount, or if it's under 36, if it was a full-time child.
It is a full-time child.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay. then if it's a full-time child enrolled in under 36 category, then they would be eligible for $350. So then it would be your $985 that you charge minus the $350. We're doing the math here. So $985,
$350. I'm not quite understanding what you're saying. Because my question is, I went on the calculator and I put in the under 36 months and I put in the 5, and then it showed me that for that parent would only pay $50.
The calculator has two portions. You can use the monthly calculator, which is on the top, or the weekly calculator on the bottom.
It was the monthly one that I did.
Okay. The monthly, if you enter that the child's average enrollment in a month is 20 days or more, it will come out to the maximum amount of $350.
Right.
Perhaps 5 would put in the number of days but in the monthly calculator instead of 20 for the month. Another way to do that would be a child's weekly enrollment using the bottom part of the calculator. And if you put 5 full days per week, it would equal out to 5 days out of 5, which is 100%, $350.
Okay, so you're saying, okay, so I just want to understand here. So you're saying that the parent would pay $350 and then the government will be paying me the rest as an operator. That's what you're saying?
The child care fee reduction would be a maximum of $350 for licensed group and the age of the child under 36 months. The new cost of care, if your cost of care was $985,
yeah,
and the child care fee reduction, the maximum of $350 was applied, the difference, $635, is the new parent fee.
Charged. Oh, okay, okay, that would be the parent fee. Oh, I see, okay, okay. Thank you so much for clearing that up.
Thank you.
Have a good time.
Thank you. And our next question is from Charlene. Go ahead, Charlene.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I actually just have a very quick clarification because I know you've got lots of people waiting. So what we've done in our center, I want to make sure we've done the right thing. We've got our invoices ready to go to hand out on the last day of the month. We have taken the use your calculator, which I find extremely helpful. We've calculated the amount for each person. We've taken that off the amount that the parent would owe. We said your fee is $759. We've taken off $100 for 3 to 5 in the group center. This is your new fee. So then we get on April 1st when I put that in, I will get that $100 back, but probably not till the 1st or 2nd or 3rd of the month, which is totally cool. Is that correct? So I just take it right off their invoice right at the 1st of the month?
That's yeah. Right.
Okay. The second piece, that clarification, when I go in to do CCOS at the end of the month, will it just be one form, one CCOS fill out? So it's almost like a one-stop shop. I fill out my regular CCOS and it calculates my base funds, and it also calculates the 10% top-up, and it also calculates what I would be getting in the fee reduction, all in one stop?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, fabulous. Perfect. I just wanted to clarify. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlene.
Thank you, Charlene. Our next question is from Robert. Go ahead, Robert.
Oh, hi, guys. This is my second time on a call. Are you there?
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
Welcome yeah. back.
Thank you. Hey, I guess I have the last call got brought up a quick question. So if it's all on one form, and we've got two under 36 months, 30 to 35 months in our 3 to 5 program, and I include them in my under 36 months because those parents are still paying $1,050, how's the program going to distinguish between what portion of that is it going to look at my license and say, oh, you have 24 spaces, so we're only going to give you CCOS for 24 spaces, and then we'll give you the top up for those 30 to 35 months in the 3 to 5 program? How will it distinguish between those two children and the fact that those families are paying Let's call them full-time kids for simplicity's sake.
Okay, so that's a good question about distinguishing. So what we are aware of in the enrollment report is we get aggregate numbers or total numbers of children enrolled on a daily basis in, you know, in for each of the days that your facility is open and operating. So it's based, the payments are based on the enrollment report categories. And so if you are reporting two children in the under 36 category, we would be paying, if they were full-time, for example, we would be paying the $350 for that fee.
Okay, perfect. So, sorry, that last question just made that pop up. My real question, and I apologize, and you only want the one question, but it has to do with the, so the rate calculator, I'm just trying to, and this circles back to a previous question you had, and I've been doing the math on this, trying to figure out how it works. But so if I go into the weekly calculator, looking at it right now, and I say a child's coming 3 days a week, it comes up and says $210, which is, of course, the $1,750 times the three days a week sort of thing. So I'm going to give that family a $210 credit against their monthly enrollment for 3 days a week, my rate, which happens to be $740. My question is, so in May, if that family comes Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm actually going to get paid for 15 days, which comes out to $262.50. You guys are saying from that previous answer that you're okay with me only charging or giving that family a $210 credit because I'm using your calculator. And I just want to clarify that because I don't want to be in breach of the contract because, you know, but, you know, so there's two, you know, scenarios in May. Monday, Wednesday, Friday is 13 days and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is 15 days. So there's a two-day difference between a three-day rate person. Currently, both those families pay the same rate to us, regardless. Is that
right.
Making any sense?
Yes, you are. It's, we're very aware of this one. So I'll go back to a couple of key principles with this. So this is about providing stable monthly payments through you to parents, and so fee reductions that are stable month over month. The caveat for that, or the sort of side-by-side piece of that, is that it's stable monthly payments where the schedule is stable. So it doesn't necessarily need to be in 1 month, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, month over month. It could be, as long as it's 3 days, you know, so it could be Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, or what. But if they're still paying, you know, the same fee and they're paying the same, or they have the same schedule in terms of, on the calculator, the number of days per month, under 4 hours or over 4 hours, then, yes, that would provide stable monthly payments. One of the pieces that you will have noticed, if you saw our FAQs, is that we have compensated for that with the adjusted daily rate based on the months. And so, you know, I think John referenced earlier, I think one of the things that we are working on very quickly is to provide some more clarification on that just to ensure that it's really clear.
Oh, okay. So if I understand what you just said correctly, even though the calculator says 750 or 210 and it's based on 1750, if I in say May where it's 1667, I'm actually only going to get paid 1667 a day, not the 1750 that the calculator's telling me.
So, just to clarify, so there's a couple of things. And so this is exactly why we're going to be providing more clarification. So we put out those daily rates. We know the calculator has the rate of $17.50. In addition to the sort of fundamentals of this program of monthly stable monthly payments for stable, you know, for consistent schedules, if you will,
mm-hmm.
The other piece is that This funding will ensure that you are made whole. So in terms of, we will not be paying you any less than the amount with which you are to pass through to parents in the form of a fee reduction. So this is exactly, and this is a great question, I think we're at the end of the hour here, but this is exactly why we need to provide written clarification to assure you, our providers, that you will be made whole. And so if you are charging for a stable schedule, a certain amount, that if you use that calculator, that is the amount that you will see, that you will see in terms of what you receive to pass on to parents, and then there will be the additional administrative top-up.
Okay. So regardless of the month, so the grid that I'm seeing in the FAQ won't, yeah, so the 1667, I'm going to get 1750 in May, not 1667.
Correct. And so, yes, and it was one of our explanations, and it's why we're really pleased to come on this call, is that we really need to clarify that piece. So we are aware, as we said at the beginning of the call, that there is an average of 21 days. But we know that, for instance, I think you said May, have 22 days, others have 20, others have 21. And so we want to make sure at the end of it that there's stable monthly payments so that you don't have to go back to your parents every month and, you know, go back with different rates. And so those are absolutely what we're looking at. And so, you know, the calculator came out with $1,750, to provide stable monthly payments. And so, we will ensure that that flows through into what you receive for the payments under the initiative.
Okay. That makes sense. Just a suggestion. I've been doing calculations and math. It works easier if we do 52. There's 52 Mondays in every year, and there's 52 Tuesdays. It's easier than doing months, but that's just my suggestion. Okay, thank you so much for clarifying.
Excellent questions, Robert. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, so why don't we, we're past the hour, why don't we take one more quick call, and then we'll call it a night and let you get back to your activities.
Perfect, thank you. Our next question is from Becky. Betty. Just go ahead, Betty. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, Betty.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead with your question, Betty.
I'm just a daycare, like a family provider, and my question is, I was wondering if should all parents whose kids go to daycare receive the same amount of benefits irrespective of which type of daycare they choose, whether that be a group or family daycare, just because with the different benefits, it puts facilities of or family facilities at a disadvantage for being competitive in the marketplace.
Thank you for that question. And we certainly have had this on other calls, and so thank you for bringing this up. We should have addressed it at the beginning. The way that we looked at the average cost of care in the various categories, and so this is based on, the data, we had the profile, as well as various other mechanisms that we are looking at child care costs in this province. And so this initiative is to address the highest on average cost of care to parents. And we know that there's different fees. Obviously we know some programs charge the same fees, but by and large, when we look at the average cost of care, it was the group under 36 months that is the highest cost of care in this province, followed by the various other care types. And so, we understand that, again, there's no one-size-fits-all, but by and large, when we look at the average cost of care in this province, this is how we allocated these fees.
Okay, and I just have a quick other question. Is that if we opted out on this program, like let's say on Sunday, can we opt in? And if so, how do I go about doing so?
If you opted out on Sunday, you mean, oh, like in the future?
I'm sorry?
Sorry, you were saying if you opted out and then you opted back in?
Yeah, no, I haven't opted in yet, but if I would like to opt in, how would I do so?
Oh, if you'd like to opt into the program? Oh, okay.
At a later date, I think.
Oh, at a later date. Yeah, absolutely. And so what you could do is you could submit Section 2 of the program confirmation form. So this is the same form that you would have submitted, and we have it available on our website. Well, we certainly could send you one. It's Section 1 is for your base CECOF funding, and then Section 2 is where you can apply to enroll. So you would then at a later date certainly submit that form to the program, and then we would process it accordingly.
Okay, thank you so much. Could you please send me that form?
Yeah, certainly. So rather than what we'll do is if you can call our program rather than sort of personal details on the phone.
Of course.
888-338-6622, option 2. I'll say that again. 1-888-338-6622, option 2. So, yeah, please call our staff and certainly they can work with you to get that to you.
Okay, thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks very much, everyone, for spending your Monday evening with us here on the telephone in our sixth CECOF and Child Care Fee Reduction Initiative information session. We'll have another one tomorrow night at the same time. If we didn't get to your questions, you can have another chance to pose those. As Ann said, you can also phone the CECOF program tomorrow during normal business hours if you have any additional questions. Again, that's 1-888-338-6622 at option 2. Thanks very much and have a good evening. Bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes the Child Care Operating Funding 2018-2019 program changes. Thank you for your participation and have a nice day.